Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode, a conversation with Dean Susan Fournier, where she answers the question at the heart of the show.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. There are many great ideas for how to best educate American kids in the 21st century. Longer school days, maybe more STEM classes, student-led learning, closing the achievement gap, intervention starting from birth, you name it. Well, what about cutting the school week down to 4 days? That is happening in more than 500 districts in 25 states across the country. The cuts come due to financial pressures, but they're also seen as a way to recruit and retain great teachers, so more districts could follow. What effect, though, is that having on families and student learning? So this hour on Point, the 4-day school week. And you can join us. Do you live in a district that's moved to the 4-day school week? Do you wish you did live in one? What impact is it having? Is it making your life easier or harder? And are your students learning as much? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Well, joining us today from Brighton, Colorado is Chris Fidler. He's the superintendent of Colorado's 27J school district just north of Denver. And he just wrapped up the first school year in the 27J district with a 4-day week. Superintendent Fidler, welcome to On Point.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you've got 18,000 students there in your district. Is that right?
We do, just slightly more than that, but like 18,500 pre-K through 12.
Okay, so pretty large district then. What was the impetus to moving to a 4-day school week?
Well, there's always context to decisions like this. So we're a very fast-growing school district. In the year 2000, we had about 5,000 students. So we're very quickly going to reach the point where we've quadrupled since that time. We expect we'll have 20,000 students in the next 24 to 36 months.
Wow.
And with that growth comes a need for additional schools. And we have, I was looking this morning before I got on air with you, we have been in front of the voters 15 different times since the year 2000 for either mill levy override elections or bond elections. And community has been very, very generous in terms of passing bond elections for us to build new buildings. We've had 8 different bond questions out before the voters. We've passed half of those, most recently in 2015. In the same time period, we've been on the ballot for mill levy override elections, and those are for operating expenses and those types of things. 8 different times as well, and most recently in 2017, and we failed the last 6 times. So we have the unenviable designation of being the lowest funded school district in the Denver metro area, and we are just trying to play our hand in the best way that we can in terms of serving our kids. So once we failed in 2017 on that 6th mill levy override election, we really chased this idea of a 4-day. It's not unique to Colorado and other western states, as you may know, and we really chased it for the purpose of attracting, retaining, and then developing quality adults to work with our kids because
okay.
they know they make the difference.
So let me just jump in here quickly just to be clear on something. So the last 6 times that voters were asked to pass an override, essentially, to help fund the operating costs of the district, which is verging on being 4 times as large as it was in the early 2000s, those votes haven't come through. So you're saying that there's a major budget crunch here.
Well, we have to live within our budget.
Yeah.
What I would suggest to you is we have far fewer resources financially to work with than our Denver metro peers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the 4-day school week is designed to address that, but also, as you were saying, retain and attract great teachers. How is it doing that?
We've been really pleased because we're growing so quickly. We hired over 200 teachers last spring for this current school year as we were moving into the 4-day, and we had wonderful results in terms of the number of applicants that were interested in coming to join us, and we saw that again this spring. We expect we'll be near somewhere between 250 and 300 new teachers for this coming fall, and we've been really pleased with the number of applicants. You know, where we would maybe previously have 40 to 50 elementary applicants, we've had as many as over 100 for each position, and then the hard-to-fill positions, special education, education, secondary math, those types of things. We'd be really excited if we had, you know, four or five to choose from. Mm-hmm. And we've had applicant pools in the 25 to 30 range, and it's really been helpful. We also have seen a much more mature applicant pool in terms of not just the brand new teachers coming out of college looking for that first job. We've actually seen teachers from neighboring districts come to us specifically for the 4-day week, and we think it's been a huge tool in helping us be competitive. Our beginning teacher salary is last in the metro area. Our average teacher salary is last, and it just gives us an opportunity to be a little bit different. Yeah. And restructure time in a way that we think works best for our teachers.
So the teachers are getting paid full-time but don't have to work on that fifth day?
Well, they're paid full-time. So for clarity, they work the same number of hours on the 4-day week that they did previously on the 5-day. So there's not a reduction in the amount of hours they're working. For clarity, too, because people often assume that there's less time with the kids, the number of instructional hours for students are the same on the 4-day week as they were with the 5. It's just a little bit longer day. So we're just restructuring time in a way that we think works better given our circumstances. They're still working the same number of hours. They're not working, not being paid the same, working less. They're working the same number of hours.
Got
as
it.
Previously.
And there's the state mandated number of hours that students have to have for instructional time. That hasn't changed. It's just those longer 4 days.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
That's
so
correct.
So what about the question of how students learn? I mean, it seems to be there's not that much research out there. We'll talk a little bit about it, but has this been, it's only been going on for a year. Is there a concern that like kids aren't getting the same kind of education they might get over 5 days, even though they're in school longer for 4 days now?
Well, I'm sure it depends who you ask. Our worldview is, we don't think time is the most important factor in a child's education. We think that the adults that work with them are. So the quality of the teacher and the quality of the adults that our kids are around matter most. We know that. The research suggests that. In fact, there's very little evidence that demonstrates the amount of time that a student spends, unless it's drastically different. Again, this is the same amount of time. But how you portion that out, there's, to my knowledge, little to no research that suggests that time is the determining factor. And anyone who's ever had a poor teacher or a poor coach knows that more time with that poor teacher or poor coach is not going to make you learn more or become a better whatever it is you're trying to be, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, great teachers are the heart of a strong public education system. Although, you know, if you get as much out of 4 days as you do out of five, granted those longer 4 days, but it does make you wonder about the efficacy of anything that's happening in a school. Maybe we ought to rethink education as a whole. But Chris Fidler, stand by here for just a second, because this is absolutely fascinating. Chris Fidler is the superintendent of the 27J school district in Colorado, the first district in the Denver metro area to move to a 4-day school week. I want to now bring in Paul Hill. He joins us from Seattle, Washington. He's the founder of the Center on Reinventing Education, and he's a research professor at the University of Washington, Bothell. Paul Hill, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us, first of all, I mean, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of how a 4-day school week works, but does it have an impact, positive or negative, on student learning?
I think it's fair to say we don't know.
Okay.
That you can see arguments on either side. There are arguments about whether teachers and students get fatigued and whether the kids can learn in a 90-minute longer day as much as they did in the other part of the day, and if teachers are as effective. And there's concern about little kids, about whether their fatigue is really much more serious than that of older kids and might fall off so that the extra time might not benefit them. But on the other side, there are schools that have been designed from scratch to go more than 4 days, to go only 4 days. And they are generally considered pretty effective. What sets them apart from normal practice is that they usually are schools with fairly educationally savvy parents and with lots of homework and lots of enrichment, so that the fifth day for the child is definitely not a day off. It's a day of learning in another way. So I can't say that a given district that goes 4 days will have a problem, but I think the problems will show up, if there are any, with younger kids and also with kids in disadvantaged areas, particularly in rural areas where there may be migrant groups that live outside of town and the kids really are at loose ends on the fifth day. So there's a lot more to be learned, and we have almost no evidence on it, and the evidence we have on it is mixed.
Okay. So, Chris Fidler, let me turn back to you. Can you tell us more about the 27J school district? I mean, the socioeconomic profile of it and what the kids are doing in their day off now.
Sure. So in terms of our demographics, we are the majority of our students are students of color. So about 53-54% of our students are students of color. And then somewhere between 35-36% free and reduced lunch. We're a Denver Metro School District, so we serve Core Brighton, which is where our district headquarters is located in. And then we serve the eastern portion of the city of Thornton, and then what they refer to as the northern range of Commerce City. And all three of those cities are growing tremendously. I mean, to the point is we had 852 new kids last year. We're expecting another 700 or so for the following year, and really we're in that 700-800 student enrollment increase really from now till 2030. We surround Denver International Airport, so we're 214 square miles, and there's a big hole in our district where DIA is located. Mm-hmm. We used to, if you're familiar with Colorado, we used to think we'd never build a school on the east side of Interstate 76, and you should learn never to say never because those developments are coming, and I think eventually they will circle DIA. But again, in terms of the context, you know, when I talk about us being lower funded, so in fiscal year 19, this current school year, our total funding per pupil, when you think about the School Finance Act and our one loan mill levy override, which was passed in 2000 for $750,000, it equates to about $40 a student. We're at $7,881 per student. And if I go to the far end of this and for the most extreme, Sheridan School District is at $12,376. Uh-huh. Denver's at $11,219. Boulder at $10,345. So it's not like it's just pennies on the dollar. You know, that gap is really, you know, in some cases almost it is $3,000 or more, and several that are almost $2,000
yeah.
more.
Well, Chris Fidler, I just got to take a quick break here. So hang on here for a moment because I'm also... And you laying out those numbers, I keep hearing that this is a decision that's not made out of a spirit of improving education, but I'm dealing with budgetary concerns. So we are talking about the fact that 25 states across the country allow or have districts that have moved to a 4-day school week. And we want to know what you think about that. We'll be back. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. These days, it's hard to ignore the debate over the role business should play in society.
There's crescendo around profit, period. Is profit bad? Is capitalism evil? These themes are out there.
Is this criticism of business warranted? And if so, how do we fix it? Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode of the Is Business Broken podcast.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about the 4-day school week for schools K through 12. It's happening in some 25 states across the country, most of them west of the Mississippi. 550 school districts at least are now at a 4-day school week. And we want to know what you think about it. Do you think it's a great idea? Do you think it makes it tougher for families and parents? And what should kids be doing in that fifth day if they're not in school? Schools in Bayard, New Mexico run on a 4-day week, and Sonia Dixon is a public librarian there. She told PBS NewsHour that parents strapped for childcare are dropping off their children at the library for hours of unattended time.
It's great for teachers. They love it. And why wouldn't they? But I see a lot of grandparents and relatives seemingly a little overwhelmed and burdened.
Well, the school board in Athens, Texas approved a four-day school week for the next school year. Here's Mom Sean Butler talking to KLTV about her concerns.
You know, are they going to be able to stay home from work? Are they going to be able to adjust their schedule? There are quite a few daycares here, but legally, are they going to be able to absorb all the extra kids?
That's a mom in Athens, Texas. Let's go to the phones. Chris is calling from Washington, North Carolina. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
Go ahead.
My question is right along the same lines. I have two kids, and I'm curious, what's the expectation for the day when the kids are off, depending on their age? Are parents expected to put them in temporary daycare situations? Are there things offered by the public schools to supplement this particular day off each week?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious as to what the expectation is for a lot of working parents. That's not an easy thing to find.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for your call. Let me go to Chris Fidler, who's the superintendent of the 27J school district in Colorado. The district came up with some ways to assist families in that fifth day. Chris, can you tell us more about that?
I can, in terms of context. Initially, we weren't thinking we were going to offer care.
Mm-hmm.
And after we had our first community meeting, it was pretty clear we needed to do that. So we had an existing before and after school program that we already was parent funded in terms of them paying a fee for that care before and after school. So we had a system in place, and then we now are offering Monday care in 8 of our elementary schools. It's about 5% of our elementary families are taking advantage of that. It's $30 a day. When we were still on a 5-day week, and if they had their children in before and after school care on Monday, it was $20 if they were in before and after, so it was a $10 additional cost per student. And just some anecdotally, when we asked parents to put down a deposit in last June and July to hold the space for Monday care, we had about a little over 600 students that were signed up. And then as we get to the school year, August, September, we're only seeing about 300 of those kids actually attending at those 8 different sites, which is about 5% of our elementary population, to give you a feel for what that looks like. So the vast majority, it would appear, have figured that out in terms of either they have a parent at home, they have a parent who has a flexible work schedule on Mondays, they have older siblings, maybe they have relatives, grandparents, aunts and uncles who are assisting. We also have the Boys and Girls Club in town, Shopneck Club. They're offering care for $20 a day on Monday. I know that some families are utilizing that. And then some other extensions, we have the Art Academy of Colorado here in Brighton that's offering art classes. We have a young lady who's offering an orchestra academy in one of our schools. We have, I think, 25 or 30 kids that are signed up for that. And what else am I forgetting? The rec centers at both Commerce City and Brighton are offering programming on Mondays. So there's, and then if you're a high school student, I know a lot of those kids are working, or if you have a teenager, they're probably sleeping till noon because that's what they tend to
right.
do sometimes.
Well, Paul Hill, the founder of the Center on Reinventing Education, let me turn back to you here because we've got a lot of questions along this line. We have Emily Brown online asking us, please address issues with access and affordability of childcare for parents in this situation. Jessica Porter Ho says, I'm all for less instruction time or more free time, but you still have to keep my kids 6 to 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, because I have to work, and after school programs are already too expensive. So if districts are moving to 4 days a week, don't they have to figure out a way to support parents on that fifth day?
Yes, there's a problem that in many ways this is a burden shift from the schools to parents and civic institutions, and as we just heard, a lot of them are stepping forward. But certainly in a district like Colorado 27J, with a lot of families on free and reduced price lunch, a $30 daycare addition to the budget every week is a pretty big burden, and that may be the reason why fewer people are using it. But the big advantage that that district has in being in the Denver metro is that all the kinds of organizations like the Boys and Girls Clubs that were described are there, and sometimes they have their own budgets and maybe they can fundraise and so on.
Mm.
But in a lot of the rural districts we looked at, where there are not institutions like that, there are not even churches, that leaves people pretty much on their own. And if the district comes around to compensate for that, to do subsidized daycare or whatever, then that eats into their budget. So it the 4-day week can only work if somehow parents and the community can accept the fact that financial and care burdens are being shifted to them. And in some places, that's the case. But I'll say more about that later.
Well, so is there a risk, though, of, you know, again, this is probably one of those, is this an unexpected outcome, even with the best of intentions, that by not having kids in school for that fifth day, that for those families, rural, suburban, wherever, those families who are slightly better off will find ways to enrich that fifth day somehow. And that those families who are not will struggle to do that. So it's going to like create yet another place where we'll see a divide amongst students.
That's the fear, and we need to know more about it. Certainly in the isolated rural districts we looked at in the 4-day week, that was a major concern. In the suburban areas, you know, I think, as I've heard today, 27J may be the ideal district to adopt a 4-day week because they have all these assets. They would get the continued advantage of being able to compete better for teachers than their neighboring districts if the neighboring districts use the same method, that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, comment on our website, Hello Kitty says, Lord, less schooling is the last thing we need in this country. I would be okay with a 4-day school week if there were year-round school. Let's go back to the phones. Pamela is calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Pamela, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I'm a retired school teacher, 36 years in the Pinellas County school system at the same elementary school all those years. And I've always been in favor of a 4-day school week. By the time you get started each day teaching, it seems like you never have enough time in the day. And then before you know it, the bell rings and the kids leave. And by the fifth day, they're kind of, I hate to say it, but they're a little bit burned out from all 5 days of intense teaching and instruction. And so the four days, they'll get used to that schedule like we all do. It is change, but on the fifth day, when there's no school, they can have the after-school, well, the latchkey-type programs they can utilize, or the latchkey programs can lease it from the school and use the facility that way. And the latchkey programs that we always had a sliding scale for the different various incomes.
Pamela, let me jump in here, Pamela. I just have to ask you a question. So you were saying earlier about seeing teachers burn out at the end of the fifth day. So do you think that 4 days a week would help to make for better teaching?
Well, 4 days of good instruction, I do believe, and by that fifth day, you can have another type of instruction from the different programs that are there to, you know, keep the children and just have a variety. I think it would open up another kind of commerce in a way. Mm.
Well, Pamela, thank you so much for your call. Chris Fidler, superintendent of the 27J School District. Let me just turn back to you quickly. And did you were telling us about the kinds of teachers you were able to recruit with the 4-day week, but have you gotten positive feedback from teachers? I presume yes.
Well, we have, and I'm sorry I missed the caller's name, but
Pamela.
Yeah, Pamela's call. So we really think about the opportunity to have an extra hour every day. So by having the teachers with the same amount of hours Tuesday through Friday as they did Monday through Friday, we added an hour a day every day, Tuesday through Friday, of additional planning time and collaborative time for teachers to work and do all the work we ask them to do to be pros for kids. And being really honest, you know, we have over the years asked teachers to do this work, and it's kind of this nudge, nudge, wink, wink, because we don't have any idea when you're really going to do the work, to be collaborative, to have data conversations around formative assessment and how you can improve your lessons for kids. We've actually created additional time in the schedule for them to do that 4 days a week. You know, it didn't exist in the previous schedule. So, again, we really chased this around hiring the best possible teachers and adults, and then giving them additional time to really be pros for kids. And as a side note, that's the reason we landed on Mondays off as opposed to Fridays off. We had a long conversation internally here in the district about which day. And, you know, the natural instinct is Friday. We want Fridays off because you want to start your weekend. And we landed on Mondays as the day off because that is a day that you can have the weekend and then you have Monday to prepare for kids for the week. And we're really happy that we landed on that Monday. And people do it different ways, but most folks take those Fridays off. We're really pleased with how Fridays worked. And then we have staff development for teachers one Monday a month in the morning, and then all of our administrators are required to have two Mondays a month for professional growth and development time for them as leaders.
Well, Chris Fidler and Paul Hill, hang on here for just a second, because I want to introduce into the conversation John Turner. He joins us from Springfield, Missouri. He's the assistant professor at Missouri State University's College of Education. He's the author of several studies on four-day school calendars in Missouri. And next school year, by the way, the state will have 61 school districts on a four-day calendar. John Turner is also the former superintendent of Dallas County R1 School District in Buffalo, Missouri. John Turner, welcome to you.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, let me just ask you a basic question. Have you yet seen a school district that's well-funded move to a four-day week?
You know, that is, you know, in Missouri, and Missouri doesn't have nearly as many years on the four-day school week as they have in the Mountain West states and Colorado, and like where Dr. Hill is out in the West Coast. In Missouri, we've only had the four-day school week for about 9 years as even an option for school district. And those early adopters in Missouri, I think that school finance was the key factor in that switch. But, of course, their savings is going to be minimal, probably less than 5% of their overall budget that they may save by going to the four-day week. But these recent trends, you know, if you look at, again, with the first 4 or 5 years in Missouri where it was an option, we only had a handful of schools that adopted the four-day school week. But now, 2 years ago, we had 25 in Missouri. This current year that we're just ending right now, we have 33. And going into next year, we'll be up to at least 61. So it's growing very fast. And these late adopters now are you're hearing a lot more conversations like Dr. Fedler's talking about there in Colorado, is that you're hearing a lot more conversation about the competitive job market trying to attract and retain teachers. So, but money is always an underlying factor in there somewhere. You know, if you look at school districts, and I'll just use one example, for example, you have Branson, which is well-known in Missouri for an entertainment mecca. A beginning teacher in Branson with a bachelor's degree will make $35,500. If you go 25 miles away to a school district called Galena, they're going to make $3,200 as a bachelor beginning teacher. That's $3,500 difference. But if you look farther down on the salary scale, when they add years of experience and add additional educations like a master's degree, well, teachers at Branson with many years of experience and a master's degree are going to make $60,000 as a teacher. In Galena, they're going to make $48,000. So that you know, $11,000, $12,000 difference, and they're only 25 miles away, that definitely money does become that factor where you, again, not only have trouble attracting teachers, but then retaining them as they mature through their career and advance across that salary scale.
This is such a tough bind that districts find themselves in, because it almost sounds like a zero-sum game, right? In order to keep the best teaching talent, that you gotta cut somewhere else, and cutting the number of school days is one way to do that, even though, as you're saying, it's only, you know, at the top end, a 5% savings, because you still need the same number of teachers. But you've also done research on, you know, on the outcomes of the four-day school calendar in several Missouri districts. What did you find? Did the quality of the education change meaningfully?
Well, and we've done three different studies, and the study that I'd like to mention first is Dr. Fidler talking about the parents' perceptions, and that was one of in a similar kind of study where we went out into Missouri schools that had adopted the four-day school week. We looked at the end of that first year. We went and looked at them in May when they were finishing up their school year and talking to parents, and while overall parents by almost every category were overwhelmingly supportive of the four-day school week in Missouri school districts, you know, in the 80s, higher 70s and 80% range across all categories, including free and reduced lunch and different age factors and single-parent household factors. All of those groups overwhelmingly supported their school district shift to the four-day school week at the end of the first year. But there were a couple of categories that, and again, Dr. Hill mentioned one of them, are those parents that have students that receive special education services. They're in the 50% approval range, and the same with parents that have only early childhood kids with in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. Those parents, again, are in the 50% ranges, and so, again, it is a mixed bag.
Okay. Well, Paul Hill, jump in here. So I have to say, I'm bringing my own, fully admit, I'm bringing my own biases to the table. I find it hard. It's surprising to me that so many parents would be supportive of a four-day school week. because I still can't quite wrap my head around it. But let's talk about the parents who are concerned and those parents who have children with special needs. I mean, how can a district support them if the very programs that those kids need are inside schools and they just don't have access to them on the fifth day?
It's difficult, and I think people are trying to work it out. Again, the more capable and better resourced districts like 27J have lots of options for kids. The ones that are the main adopters, the really poor and isolated rural areas, just don't have many alternatives. And they're already big problems of special education delivery and also science and math. And kids with learning disabilities, lots of kids that really lose even if they're off school an extra day. These are all challenges that districts have to face. And I frankly don't think the discourse in most localities that led to the decision contemplated that. It was sort of, this is something we need to do because we're dealing with financial stress and we need to keep our teachers. I just want to raise one point that if you see this as competitive strategy, that districts say, I can get better teachers and beat my competitors to get good teachers if I go to four-day week, well, that lasts only as long as others don't go four-day week. And I think the explanation for the rapid spread is that people are seeing that they're getting beaten by four-day week districts, and so they're grabbing teachers that way.
Well,
this lead to... Yeah.
No, go ahead, Paul. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
So does this lead to a very widespread adoption, which means it no longer conveys any advantage? So we've given away a day of school for a transitory advantage for some districts in competing for teachers.
Given away a day of school. Interesting. Paul Hill and John Turner stand by. Chris Fidler, superintendent of the 27J School District in Colorado, the first district in the Denver metro area to move to a four-day school week. I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
This is On Point.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about the fact that 25 states, at least 25 states, most of them west of the Mississippi, have districts, school districts in them that operate on a four-day week. That's more than 550 school districts so far, and more are turning to the four-day week, and we want to know what you think about that. What is lost when school districts move to 4 days versus five? What is gained? Is it better for teachers, which means it's maybe better for students? In 2016, Vice News looked at Oklahoma's Noble School District, which moved to a four-day week in the face of a budget crisis. Nisha Bundy works long hours as a nurse, and her son has an auditory disorder. She worried that the shorter school week keeps him from getting the personalized attention he needs.
You've got, you know, kids like mine that do have kind of special needs that you have to throw that in on it too, and it makes it really difficult to try to maneuver all that and make sure that they're going to be successful.
The leaders of Pasco County Schools in Florida also considered a move to a four-day school week. It was a very controversial topic at a TEDx event they organized for students. Here's a fifth-grade student, Hariel Vasquez.
Some schools have already put a four-day school week on the school schedule. To that, I say four-day, no way. Kids think that having one less day each week is great, but I think the complete opposite. What if you're in an after-school program like football or soccer? According to Patty Richards, if children are required to be in school for 8 hours each day, the time they could participate in after-school activities is greatly diminished.
That's a fifth grader at the Pasco County Schools in Florida. The district ultimately decided to stick with the five-day calendar. I'm joined today by John Turner. He's with us from Springfield, Missouri. He's an assistant professor at Missouri State University's College of Education. Paul Hill's with us from Seattle, Washington. He's the founder of the Center on Reinventing Education. And John and Paul, we've got calls from all over the place. North Carolina, Idaho, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Connecticut, where Edith is calling. Edith is with us from Canton, Connecticut. You're on the air.
Thank you. My concern is the U.S. is already not number one or two in education standing. My grandson is 6 years old. He leaves the house at 8 a.m., comes home at 4 p.m. He's kindergarten. To condense a five-day school day into four will affect many people, the people who work and have to make different arrangements, and you've covered that already. We haven't kept sickness in mind. Mm-hmm. There has been a lot of sickness, meaning that kids sometimes miss 2 and 3 days out of a week. How is that work made up?
Yeah. Edith, I'm going to take it back from you because thank you so much for your call. Paul Hill, let me turn to you. And first, the first thing that Edith wanted to know, she's saying that the United States is definitely not number one in education globally. So does this further set kids back?
It's possible that it does. One thing that bothers me is that when I look across the country at districts that have taken the four-day week, these are not the districts that get all the kids into college and have sensational mm-hmm. results. These are districts that have been struggling before. Whether they get better is questionable.
Paul Hill, you still there? We're going to try and get him back here. John Turner, let me turn back to you there, because I understand that you've tried to figure out if educational outcomes change, but different testing regimes over the course of several years in Missouri have prevented you from coming to any conclusion.
Well, and of course, I know that's a challenge that's probably been nationwide with the controversy over a nation at risk and No Child Left Behind, and we've seen a number of national initiatives, and especially when you get into the assessment area, that we've seen lots of change here in the last 4 or 5 years, and especially when you look again at Missouri, that's only been trying the four-day school week here for about 9 years in some districts. We've gone through like 3 or 4 different assessment regimes here in Missouri in that time period, so it's hard to have some type of identified consistency. But one thing I do want to mention on this is remember that, especially in states like Missouri, and it's this way across the country, is that those school districts are primarily operated by locally elected school board members. And those locally elected school board members have a great concern, obviously, about their kids and their future. And so this decision that they make is not something that they just do on some spur-of-the-moment type thing. When you were talking to Dr. Fidler there, it's obvious that they've thought of every angle out there at the 27J School District in Colorado about trying to make sure that this decision is not going to have a negative impact on kids. And so it's not like somebody does this casually. In Missouri, we've got currently 33 school districts, and I've sat across the table from 32 of the superintendents in those districts all across the state of Missouri. And let me tell you, every one of them has the sincere best interest of their kids at heart when they make this decision.
Yeah. Well, John, can I jump? I just want to jump in here because I think you're making an extraordinarily important point, right? I mean, there's nothing that raises the passion and care of people at the local level more than their schools, for sure. But I mean, doesn't that just get us back to the point that we get to in every education conversation, that the implication is these districts wouldn't even be engaged in this discussion or having to make this decision if they were appropriately funded by the taxpayers in their localities and states?
Well, you know, especially when you can't be competitive in a job market, you know, no teacher in rural America should have to take a vow of poverty in order to exercise their career in rural schools. And when you look at the numbers, again, especially not only beginning teachers, but as they move across their career and become veteran teachers, they're almost forced to go into the suburban school districts that are better funded because of higher salaries, because it not only impacts them on that year on their salary, it also impacts their retirement also. But, yeah, there's definitely a funding mechanism in there too. But another thing that I do want to mention is that when we talk about comparing us to other countries, also realize that, you know, it's sort of like putting your program together for 2 hours a day. How many hours do you have to go in planning all you have to do in this two-hour on-point broadcast that you have? It's many, many hours. Well, Dr. Fidler mentioned earlier, it's sort of a wink and a nod that we've had in schools where we go through and say, yeah, teachers, we want you to plan together. Mm-hmm. We want you to have discussions and collaborate and things like that. But we always just expect them to do it during the regular school day when we may give them a 45, 50-minute conference period. And that's one of the things that I hear quite regularly is those school districts that go to the four-day school week, they say, now we have the time for our teachers to sit down and discuss what's going on in the grade before them and the grade after them, have discussions across the department to say what's going on in this English 1 class as compared to another English 1 class, having that collaboration. So there's definitely a dynamic there that this additional collaboration and professional development time amongst teachers means that you're still going to, like we've talked about, you're still having the same amount of instructional time, but it might be higher quality because it's better planned.
So I completely see that. And so then the quality of the teaching goes up, as you said. But there's still, as we've been engaging this across this hour, the question about the students and the time that they spend on that on the fifth day and how the community and families need to support them on their fifth day if they do it all. But look, I'm running out of time here. Let's go to another caller. Anna is calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Anna, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm a mom of six kids, and we don't have a four-day work school week. We do have 5 days in our district. I do have family in a four-day district that made the decision for busing reasons, for cost.
Mm-hmm.
But they have found a benefit to the mental and emotional health of their children as they have more time to spend as a family.
Right.
They get their work done, and then they spend time as a family, and they still have a day to actually rest.
Yeah.
And I see my kids working really hard, and they're just exhausted, especially my older ones. I think their mental and emotional health of the kids could be benefited from a little less constant going and working hard at school.
Anna, thank you so much for your call. Paul Hill, do we have you back here?
You do now.
Okay, sorry I couldn't hear you there a couple of minutes ago. But Anna pointing out that there could be social and emotional benefits to not being in school for 5 days. What do you think about that?
There could be in the situation she describes when the family is able to pay attention in the way they describe, less confident in play. You know, if a family has to work a 6 day work week among poor people. What I did want to say that there are probably ways that 4 day week can be introduced without hurting kids' learning. But what we see across the country is the districts that are going this way are not the hot districts where every child is going to college, where the scores are great, where there's a lot of equity between low-income and high-income mm-hmm. kids. Instead, we see these are struggling districts already, and now they're moving toward a four-day week, which the argument could be that it doesn't hurt anything. But that's kind of the upper bound of it, except in a few cases where people can take advantage of it. So it is something that needs to be looked at. It probably can be done right, but it probably isn't being done right in most of the isolated districts I looked at. And given that it's spreading, I think we need more attention to the issue.
Yeah. So John Turner, how much more do you think this is going to spread? I mean, Missouri's gone from, 33 at one point in time districts that use the shortened calendar to now 61 in the next school year. So how much more could it spread?
You know, and it is obviously, if you looked at a map of the state of Missouri, and Paul mentioned this earlier, if you look at the map of the state of Missouri, you know, back a few years ago when there were only 17, there's 518 school districts in Missouri, so every little small town in Missouri has retained their local school district. So there's 518, and a few years back we only had 25, and so it was sort of spread up across that map very broadly. But now you're seeing really condensed pockets in certain parts of our state, primarily in southwest Missouri around Springfield, and then the western suburbs, west of St. Louis, and in that area across northern Missouri up along the Iowa border up in there, that you're seeing these pockets develop of 4 day school week districts. And, you know, I think you know, as much as we've looked at this, and like I said, I've been in, of the current ones we have, 32, I've been, or the 33 that we currently have, I've been in 32. This is not for every school district.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably just as many that vote this down when they consider it as vote to approve it. But because of this competitive marketplace, people really struggling to not only attract teachers but retain them, I'm thinking in Missouri that you may well get up to maybe 20% of the school districts in Missouri will eventually be on the 4-day school week, because they're, like Paul mentioned earlier, that when the neighboring district does it, then you can't match them on money.
Right.
So you've almost got to keep up with them on the 4-day week.
Wow. Well, John Turner, assistant professor at Missouri State University's College of Education, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Paul Hill, founder of the Center on Reinventing Education and a research professor at the University of Washington, Bothell, with us from Seattle. Paul Hill, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And folks, go to onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio and let us know what you think of the idea of a 4-day school week. In a moment, John Krasinski's advice for the class of 2019. This is On Point. We've been listening to excerpts from some of the best graduation speeches given this year. John Krasinski is probably best known for playing Jim Halpert on the American version of The Office on NBC. He's also a writer and director. Before his career in Hollywood, he studied English at Brown University, and he delivered the baccalaureate address at his alma mater in Providence, Rhode Island, on Saturday.
For the next 4 years, I wanted to be a part of it all. I formed a new way of thinking, a new way of executing those thoughts. I leapt out of my comfort zone, then stayed there, and then leapt again. I experienced firsthand the powerful shift in doing something out of love rather than out of necessity. I learned what it meant to believe. I took chances. I failed. And I took more chances. So, yes, in the classroom, I received one of the greatest educations one can possibly get. True. But the piece of paper I got at graduation also represents that education. The piece of paper I got not only says where I was educated, but who I was educated with. And it declares that I am a member of that community of people to be relied upon to take risks, provoke thought, and to be committed participants in this world. The piece of paper I got represented every facet of my experience. And the piece of paper I got is the exact same piece of paper you're going to get tomorrow. The piece of paper I got, I live my life every single day by. Because when looking at this sense of nervous that you're feeling now, ask yourself, what's it based in? Is it based in the unknown? Because my question to you is, up until now, how else have you approached each new tomorrow? And if your nerves are based in fear of failure, well, my question is, up until now, how have you defined success? Because in this community, without the presence of financial gain, isn't success simply defined as you're just being onto something? Taking an idea farther than it had never been before? Why does it ever need to change? It doesn't. Or if your nerves are based on something bigger, a fear of something bigger, the world at large. Well, to that I do say, yes, it's true, they're right. The future does indeed belong to you. But the abstract weight of responsibility to change it overnight very much does not. Real change is organic. The only responsibility you all have is to hold fast to everything that you have lived right here. To not conform. To realize that when you're out there, you've done all this before. Right in here. Remember fondly the discomfort you felt when you were asked to push yourself farther than you were ever sure you could go. And the wash of elation when you finally got there. Remember to be scared. You've been scared before. You'll be scared again. Find more of your people. Lean all the way in. Take chances. Fail big and take chances again. Listen to music. Remember to believe in something. And fall in love as many times as it takes. And remember, before you do something special, just do something. The truth can almost seem too simple, but the simple truth is, the program you ran here is the same program. Just run it again and again and again. That's what I know. Thank you to this class, to this institution. It is my honor. Thank you.
Actor, writer, and director John Krasinski speaking at the Baccalaureate at Brown University on Saturday. We've got a link to a video of his full address at onpointradio.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes featuring Susan Fournier, Alan Questrom Professor, and Dean.
So let's start this conversation with the title of the show, Is Business Broken? It's a provocative title and a question. Where did this come from? Why that question now?
We're in a big cultural moment where capitalism, business, market systems are really being scrutinized and debated, and the role of business with it. So I think the question is just on the table. It's on people's minds. It's in the news media. It's in conversations. I think there are growing voices, loud voices, especially among young people who seem increasingly to believe that business and maybe capitalism with it are harmful and create rather than solve problems for society. And what we do seem to hear are those loud voices, and they are very black and white. There are protagonists and the antagonists and the pros and the cons, and there's really no middle discussion. It's sort of like people for and against, and it's loud.
Right. For and against DEI, for instance, right? A battle at play.
Right.
The way you describe it and the way you describe the polarization, it makes it feel like very much of the digital age, right? It feels very much of today. Some of those arguments have been around, though, right? Is this criticism of business and this question, is business broken, is that a new question?
You are so right. It is not a new question. Schumpeter, he was a professor at Harvard, and he's also maybe one of the most influential political economists of the early 20th century. He called for the death of capitalism, the death of business, 100 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
And when he critiqued way back then, he said the very successes of capitalism would bring about its downfall because it would create values hostile to capitalism, and that this would particularly take hold among intellectuals who were critiquing. So there's a lot of that same kind of dynamic happening today, and that's 100 years old. But yeah, we've seen this kind of cultural fervor playbook many times in the past, often precipitated by big crises.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.